However, if the faith does not have works, it is also useless. But works by itself, it's not what moves God. What am I saying? One neighbor, another widow, living next door, hearing what happened to that woman, might decide that, well, since this is the reigning doctrine in town, let us go to the house of Mama Josiah and give to the prophet that is staying with her, and then we will never lack. Now listen to me. They will be blessed for giving to a prophet. Do you understand? But if they came to repeat what happened with this woman, the cruse of oil will fail and the bowl of flour will finish with that one that they gave the prophet. Now, if they came and said, Mama Josiah, we hear there's a prophet in your house. I bet we don't have much. Give. The Bible said because they are giving to a prophet, because he's a prophet, they will get the prophet's reward. Do you understand my point? But the bowl from which they took out might finish. It is just that rain will start falling in their house. Whatever manner God wants to do it, he will do it. But listen, they cannot claim that if we do what this woman did, we will also get what she got. Do you know why? God is not moved by works. He is moved by what? Faith. Therefore, anybody that will do something this tragic, you know what I mean by tragic, such a heavy thing to do, must do it because God said, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Abraham did not wake up one day and say, let me show that I believe God, I will sacrifice Isaac. He never did that. He was going jeje. God called him. He said, give me that boy. I feel like drinking him. And Abraham said, no problem. Now, this is the point. Abraham, now open, there's another scripture I want us to read. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm explaining the analysis of works. That in your life, what will activate God, what you need in your life is what? Faith. But if you claim to have faith, but you don't have works, the faith is what? Dead. That the manifestation of the faith in your life, the proof, let me use that word, that there is faith in your life at all is the work that it produces. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, I want to point out something to you here. Then I begin to round off what I'm saying. Let's look at Abraham for a second. He said, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He said, he considered that God is able to raise him even from the dead, from which he also received him back. And that as a type. Now, what I want to understand is this. The reason that Abraham gave God Isaac was not because of love. Now, let us get that clear. It was indeed love, if you understand what God calls love. You know, human beings were very, very romantic. It's good. You understand my point? But love is not an emotion. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not. Love is defined two ways. Now, based on two principles. The two parties' consent and the direction you are considering it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the description of love between God and man is different between the description of love. It is different from the description of love between a man and his wife. Are you getting me? Now, even when I'm looking at it between God and man, what you call the love of God for man is different from the love of man for God. Let me explain. God loved the stranger that's amongst you. How? By giving him food and raiment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart by obeying everything he tells you. There is no God I love you but I can't go. Do you understand what I'm going to say? You can tell your wife that, you can tell your husband that. But you cannot tell God, I love you but I can't go. Do you understand my point? It's not compatible. Those two statements cannot exist side by side. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? How do you know that a man loves God? Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. The love of a father to his son is different from the love of a father to his wife. The son that the father loves, he buys a cane for him. But who is the man that shall buy a king for his wife? He doesn't love his wife. Because he will cherish her and nourish her as Christ the church. Very different. Are you getting the point I'm making? If a man wants to love God, he will take the word of God and stake his life on it. So if we look at it properly, Abraham indeed loved God. But it was not, oh God, I love you, you've been so good for me. God, thank you very much. It is not that kind of love, thank you. The kind of love that God understands is absolute obedience to him. Now, but let's look at Abraham further. Why did Abraham agree to sacrifice Isaac? What God was testing is this. How much does this fellow trust me? Listen, Abraham's faith was tremendous. Because he trusted God. God brought Isaac. God now said, give me Isaac. Let me tell you what. Abraham's faith was not in Isaac. It was in God. Who has said, in Isaac will your seed be. Are you getting the point I'm making? It was in God who had said, in Isaac will your seed be. That is, he was looking. Remember the Bible said that it was to him that had been said. It was to him. That in Isaac will your seed be. So his own was, in Isaac will my seed be. Kill Isaac, in Isaac will my seed be. Sacrifice Isaac, in Isaac will my seed be. God said, this guy trusted me that much. Abraham said, listen, if God wants to kill him, let him kill him. Then he will raise him back from the dead, because in Isaac will my seed be. And God rose up and said, for this thing that you have done. Do you understand what I'm saying? For this thing that you have done. Listen, if what you are trusting God for does not affect how you walk in life, you really don't trust him. Are you getting the point I'm making there? Listen, every day in life, challenges and tests will come to ask whether you really trust God. There's a very good, a very easy example I always give. There was one brother who came to me once. He told me that the guy wanted to go to the UK and everything had, well, I believe he had prayed. That's why he came to talk to me, because a man of God, you understand my point? So, but he needed to do one thing, maybe like, supposed to file in his papers, either to tell the truth or tell a lie. And you know, and things had gone, one thing after the other had gone wrong. So he asked me, what will he do? I said, file in your papers, tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And the consequence is the will of God. If you are indeed trusting God, that is exactly what you will do. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, if you are ready to sacrifice anything because you trust that God will do it anyway, then indeed you are doing the works to show that you really have faith. Listen, let me go back to the widow of Zarephath. That widow, Elijah gave her a word. Remember what he said when Jehoshaphat and Co were praying, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He said that, believe the Lord thy God and you will be established. Believe also his prophets so you will prosper. Listen, it is not the giving of the meal to Elijah that is the issue, but that she accepted that even if I give it to this man, he has said it will never fail. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, she gave it because she knew now it will never finish. You may say, no, that's not it. Let me prove to you that that's what happened. Jesus said something. He said, there were many widows in Israel, and to none was Elijah sent. But for who? That one that was in Zarephath, in Sidon. Now, the point I want you to understand is this. There was something that made God neglect all the widows in Israel and send Elijah to that person. I hope we have established in the past that God did not send Elijah so that Elijah can be sustained. Because the God that sent the raven to come and give food to Elijah beside the brook could have continued. I mean, if he can multiply it in the house of... After all, the widow didn't have money. She was a broke widow. And if you understand the principles of God well, you know that is an unusual thing. Read your Bible. Prophets don't stop in the house of broke people. I'm telling you the truth. You know, maybe you are surprised. It's surprising to you. They don't. If they stop, there is to heal the sick, raise the dead, and keep on going. One is to sleep. They go to the house of somebody that has money. You don't know, God is very, very considerate. He told disciples, go to the house of a man that is worthy. Worthy doesn't just mean that it's of good behavior. You must have an extra room. Don't go to a man whose wife and children are staying in one room and say, I'm a prophet of God. Shift from me from the bed. The man must have a guest house. You don't come to Enugu to come and preach and say, ah, no, I must go to the house of the most righteous person. He happens to be one poor pastor that's been living in one face mirror, face room somewhere for the rest of his life. No. You will go to a house. Where is it? This house is big. This man should have a spare room. You ring the bell. Hello, we are men of God. We want an extra room. Look, the other widow that they gave a child to, the Shunammite woman. Sorry, it was not the widow, sorry, the woman. What happened? She was the wife of a very rich man. And the woman used to, Elisha used to stop over in her house. He would invite them to come and eat. They constructed a room for them. He didn't say, please, when you are around, my husband and I will sleep on the floor. Then you guys will manage the bed. Listen, God doesn't do like that. He doesn't. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they were not poor people. Get me, but I'm not saying God is a respecter of persons. No. But God does not inconvenience people. You know what I'm trying to say? He won't go and say, I am a man of God, I have come. Everybody sleep outside. Me, I will use your bed for today. If that happens, there is something critical that God wants to do. And that was what happened to Elijah. God wanted to spare the life of that widow and her son. So he sent a prophet with a word. Now he said he sent his word and it healed them. And that word delivered them from what? Their destructions. The destruction of hunger was what God sent Elijah to deliver them from. But he said, I cannot bless you except you believe me. I remember one thing Kenneth Hagin said then. He said, when the Lord appeared to him in a vision, he told him, bring out your hands. He put his hands on the palms of his hand and said, I have given you the anointing to heal the sick. He said, anytime you want to minister, tell the person, I appear to you in a vision. I told you this. I told you that. He said, every single person that will believe what you tell them will always get healed. Do you know how Jesus used to minister? Let me just teach you that by the way. He didn't just come, hey, lay hands. No. He will enter into the synagogue. Open to it was Isaiah chapter 61. And say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Listen, everybody that had listened to John the Baptist and were prepared for that always got healed. Don't think he just walked in and said, ha ha, I'm TB Joshua. Everybody, wha? No, it's only devils that do like that. Charlatans, people want to deceive people. When God sends people, they will first give a word. They will declare. Listen, that was what Jesus did. Believe me, every time he went to a city, first thing he told them, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Everybody that was baptized by John recognized him. Are you getting my point? And then they moved in and he blessed them. What am I saying this? Anytime God wants to bless people, what he does is to send them what? A word. Now, if they receive that word, the way you will know is by their actions. So, when God sent Elijah to the house of this widow to go and preserve her and her child, he came and said, please, I'm hungry. And like Mike Mundog said, I've never seen a prophet that is not. That was the joke that Mike Mundog cracked. Anyway, he said, I'm hungry. The woman said, hungry. I'm hungry also. My son is hungry. Everybody's hungry. What is the news that you are hungry? The only food I have, I'm about to eat it. That's why you are seeing me here gathering stick. Then he understood that this is the woman to whom I have been sent. He said, don't worry. For God has said to me, in your house, food will never become empty. This will never happen. This oil will never finish. When he finished describing that, now, do you believe it or you don't? How do you know you believe it? You go and give me first. If you don't give me first, you are telling me I'm lying. Are you getting the point I'm making? If you decide to eat it first, you have not received the word. Elijah will have turned and gone back to the brook. And the woman will have eaten according to her own prophecy. Remember, we say, what do you believe? Remember that message? What do you believe? There are two things there that for the woman to believe. She could believe what she said, which was what? This is my last meal. I will eat and die. Or Elijah said to her in verse 14 there, he says, God has said, you will not eat this one and die, but you will eat it and eat again and eat again, and this food will never finish. That is the point. Make up your mind. Faith will be demonstrated by what works. She didn't have to say, "Oh man of God, I believe you, but let me eat first." Are you getting what I'm saying? One will tell you that, "I believe, but," once they put "but," they don't. I told you that what I used to tell those when after God revealed some certain truths to me, and I used to share with young women. Now, I'm a Yoruba man, you understand? And if you understand that, people from my area, they are very, very respectful in their actions, and it's a godly thing. I always tell people, every tribe seems to have some good traits. Copy the good ones. You understand what I'm trying to say? Good. So, now, because by God told the children of Israel, he said, "You will rise before the aged and bow your head before the gray-headed." It's a scriptural thing. So I used to tell women that, "Can you kneel down for your husband?" "Ah! Oh, what? What do you mean?" "Ah, laye, what is so called?" He said, "It doesn't mean I don't respect him." I said, "It does. Don't worry, it does. The way you are responding alone, it's obvious that you think he's your mate." And I remember one day I was the house officer then. There was this senior nursing sister. The woman goes to CAC. And they were having a discussion. I just walked in. She said she kneels down to greet her husband. "Eh? The other nurse is almost died. Eh?" In fact, some men, they are not even seeing it. In fact, they don't deserve it. They kept on talking. And as each one is saying it, I'm just seeing the relationship he has with her husband. Because when people tell you men, it is not men, it is him, that man. When they tell you women, it is not women, it is that one. Yeah, it is the one you know that you call them. I was just looking at them. So when they finished talking, the woman said, "Well, Misha, I knew that for my husband. Look, that's it. All of you can go and hang if you like." Now, why did I say that? The argument I used to have with people is that they always told me it did not matter. And listen to me, it is a lie. If you were born in Hungary or UK, where it's not part of your culture, I will not argue. Every culture has a way they respect people. I always give this as an example. When I go to my father-in-law's house and I want to greet my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, I kneel down. In Yoruba land, if you do that, they'll think you are mad. Men don't kneel down in our place. They prostrate. You watch home video, you see how they greet the king. You understand my point? Every time I go home, I don't get drunk and forget. I prostrate fully to greet my father. Every time. I prostrate fully. My two hands are stretched forward. I don't forget it. Now, I don't do it every day. You understand? You know the way it is. You tend to abbreviate things. You understand my point? But every time I bow to greet him. But if I'm just, maybe I traveled, he hasn't seen me for months, and I go home. My father, my mom, my aunties, my uncles, I'm not mad yet. Get my point? On the express road, I will do it. One day I went to Luz. I greeted my chief, all right, Dr. Banjo. She's a very, very nice woman. She's a young woman. So I just arrived. I left here very late in the morning, went by air. So I got to Lagos. I think she was just getting to work as I was, or she just came out for something. It was in the morning. So on the road, I just prostrated her. "Good morning, ma'am." She said, "Banky, please get up. You are making me feel like an old woman." I said, "But you are my chief. There's no other way I can greet you. I'm not crazy. I have to live long." You get my point? Some of them, it does not matter. I said, to you, it doesn't matter. I happen to know it matters. And if you and I come from the same culture, you are lying if you say it does not matter. Works, listen, always show faith. If there is no work to show, the faith is not there. Work itself is not what God is looking for. But it must be something that comes out of what? Faith. You know, people, what I see a lot these days in churches is that people preach works and say this is the key to breakthrough. I was thinking as I was coming, what I call cultic preaching. You know what I call cultic preaching? That is trying to build up a cult. The work of God is in this church. Once you start talking like that, you are building a cult. You are trying to persuade people that this is how to please God. I told you, gave me a tape the other day, and I was listening to the tape. And the man was trying to prove faithfulness to God. Every time they call for this, you are there. If church calls for volunteer, you are there. If church wants to do this, you are there. I said, this is to you proof that this person is pleasing God. Pastor, you said you are confused. You don't. That's why all of you are confused together. Because you don't realize that the service of God might demand that it doesn't answer you. Go somewhere else. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, works is what we preach a lot. People will tell you that if you want to have abundance, you give money. Listen to me. Like I said, works. It can be a sign of faith. It can just be works, period. If it just works, it's dead. If it's a sign of faith, then it is good. Listen, you cannot give into abundance. It's not possible. However, if you are believing God for abundance and you are not a giver, you are a liar. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, if you are not a generous giver and you say you are believing God for abundance, First Timothy chapter 6, open your Bible. If you say you are believing God for abundance and you are not a fabulous and generous giver, you are deceiving yourself. Now, you know, there are people, Oyeka, they only give to themselves. They are the people that always tell you, oh, if only if I had. They never have because they have eaten everything. There is an eternal principle that there is seed for the sower and there is bread for food. Now, let me tell you something about eternal principles. God teaches us those principles to guide our life. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, for example, we say, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Alright? Now, the point is this. Another statement, honor the Lord. Remember, the honor that God asks for is what? Obedience. That is, if you are believing that God will be the one to indeed bless you for serving Him, one major manifestation is the honoring of God with your substance. Don't forget, God is not playing kalu-kalu with anybody. You, the money you have, the clothes you own, if He does like this, just inhale, He sucks you in, and that's it. You will not be found again. So to bring out from it and say, God, take, just leave me alone, is let me leave that one alone. Do you get my point? But what is God saying? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Remember, I said analysis of works. I am not saying some works are wrong, but I'm saying the motive behind it is erroneous. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let me read from verse 17. Paul said to Timothy, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Please, let me analyze that first. Don't fix your eyes on the uncertainty of riches. Fix it on God. What is that? Faith. Do you get my point? It said, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. When they do this, verse 19, they are storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Now, we've explained that issue of treasure in the past. I'm not going to go by it again. But I just want to bring out something here. It said, instruct them that are rich in this present world not to be proud or to put their hope on what they have. He said, let them put it on God. He now said, instruct them to do good. Now, what am I saying? If a man is fixing his hope on what he has, he cannot give from it. That's what I'm saying. But if his hope is on God, then the Bible says he will do good. He will be rich in good works and he will be generous and ready to share. Are you getting what I'm saying? I think I've given this testimony before. Let me share with you again. In fact, two stories, I'll close with that. That will explain this thing properly. Remember, I started by saying that God had a reason for blessing Abraham. And what was that reason? Because he sacrificed Isaac. And I said that it is not works that moves God, but that was a sign of the depth and the intensity of the faith that Abraham had in God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when did I get married? Were you there? So 1999, all right. She's right, Sha. One day she told me that I've told my whole life story in class, so every medical student knows my life history. I think Bra also told me that once. All right. Anyway, I got married in 1999. Now, I won't go into all the details, but what I want to bring out is that one day,
because of our society, the way things are, I needed a lot of money, and I didn't have much of it because I was a resident when doctors were very, very poorly paid. You know, when I see all these young residents grumbling every day, I told you before, it really irritates me. Because they literally earn 10 times what I used to earn then, while doing the same job. They say it was then. It's not true. That time, my whole month's salary, I keep on saying, could not buy a 14-inch color TV. It couldn't buy it. Yes, they can buy one for breakfast every other week, and they won't have a problem. Anyway, that was the time I was planning to get married as a senior resident. And then I think my salary could manage to buy a color TV at this point in time. It had grown a bit. But I needed a lot of money. So every time they pay salary, you can be sure that every money was going towards the preparation for the wedding. Then one day, as I used to do a lot, I was sharing with the young woman I was about to marry, you know, teaching her the word of God. So I thought, not knowing that I was teaching myself the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's where we just read. You see, the Bible says that instruct them that are rich in this world. Let me explain something to you. You understand? I was breaking grammar. It was in my sitting room. When we finished, I suddenly said, wait, I think I just talked to myself. It just clicked that, listen, you, Banky, have been fixing your hope on the uncertainty of salary. You know, you're not even rich. Even if you are rich, Jay will say, okay, well, you have cause to be disobedient. You don't even have money. I say, yeah, Beleo. No wonder I've not been sleeping well. And then that was when I discovered the meaning of worry. You know, all my life, people say they are worried. I say, worry? I didn't know it was possible to be worried. Like Bishop would say, I tried to worry, it didn't worry me. So I was just relaxed. But this is the kind of person I was. If I lie down at 10, by 10:15, I'm asleep. In fact, I think that's not true. More like by 5 minutes to 7 minutes past 10, I will be asleep. If I lie down at 12 midnight, by 2 minutes past 12 midnight, my sleep is in gear 2. You understand? And later on, I even changed my sleeping pattern to automatic transmission, so the thing just flows smoothly. And then, around this time, I will go to sleep and lie down. 1 hour will pass, I'm not asleep. 2 hours will pass, and I'm not asleep. And I tell myself, I am not sleeping because I'm thinking, I'm planning. It went on like that for about a week or two or so. Then I guess it must have been the Spirit of God, an angel, tapped me one day and said, that is worry. That is, you are thinking when you should be sleeping. I say, yeah, this is worry. He caught me. You know that kind of thing. Next day I stopped it. I'm like, once I want to say, Father, I thank you, because right now, once I want to start thinking, okay, I will give this man this amount, I will do this, I will, no, please, thank you very much, I want to sleep. Of course, next day, the sleep returned to its former pattern. What am I saying is, I'm saying that I began to worry without realizing I was worrying. I was staying awake, making plans. The Bible says, he giveth to his beloved even while he sleeps. Now, let me get back to my former story. So, at this point, I realized that what I had been doing all this while is what I call quenching the spirit. There's a tape out there, quench not the spirit. I think you should get the tape and listen to it. I preach it in church. Because sometimes when God wants to do something for us, he's trying, but what is happening is that we are blocking his hands. So he says, is God's hand so short that he cannot deliver? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We are separating ourselves from the hand with which he wants to deliver us. We are constantly doing something to ensure that he does not deliver us, and we don't realize that's what we are doing. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, so at this point, after sharing with my wife that day, we're not married then, but after sharing with her that day, I suddenly realized that I had spoken to myself, not even her. Every money I got then was laid up. No, the things I would do normally, I didn't have money to do them again because I was fixing my expectation for my expenditure on what I was earning. After I read this scripture that I just read to you, I said, God said, instruct them to do good. You know what I did? I took the money I had. Sunday I went to church, put some in an envelope. Ah, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. I just bring you small offering. And that's the man's small money. One of my friends was waiting about the same time. So, boy, now, wow, you don't try. You spend money.
I put some in the envelope, gave it to him.
I know the guy thought that I suddenly got money. No, he didn't know it's the same money all of us were arranging that I'm scattering abroad, you know. Maybe one day I just said, oh boy, don't tell when I chose you. Yeah, take from that money. You know, I've told you that eating your money is part of the will of God, you understand? And when they, you know, I just blew a good proportion of what I really had gathered. Then my soul was ventilated. I said, God, over to you. I cut the story short. Let me say, the money I thought I needed, I went to see a friend of mine one day. We're discussing. They just made a statement. And he said, oh boy, look. What did he say again? You can't just kill yourself. He just explained something while we're discussing, two of us. Then understanding entered my head. I solved all my financial problems up to that point with a sheet of paper. I won't tell you how I did it. One sheet of paper, and from that day, I never needed money than I just had. All I had spent was okay. From that point onwards, in fact, I remember one of my aunties was talking. She said something that, okay, will I contribute money to this? I said, auntie, if you don't want to come for the wedding, don't come. 5 kobo, I'm not giving anybody. Do you understand? That was the end of it. I had entered into what? Rest. The Bible says labor to enter into rest. One brother on Sunday in church was giving a testimony. We used to live together in the same house in Transekulu. That's the second story I said I want to tell to explain this thing. So, well, our house was sold. Now, the former owner sold the house because he said he needed money. And we didn't have money to buy the house. And even if we did, I'm sure we'll use the money for something that will yield more money rather than buying the house. It was okay to rent the house. So we had to move. Now, he was giving a testimony that what happened was he was saving up money so he could rent another house. And the money was not enough, of course. It's never enough. Anything you have to save towards something, don't worry, it is never enough. Let me just testify to you again. I have never in my life saved to buy a car. Ever. Never. I will not do it the day I die. Ever. I'm talking about the sign of faith. What was faith? What was the work of my own faith? You know the works? I did not drive a car for 9 years after I left university. I'm a medical doctor, don't forget. 9 years, I didn't own a car. When people say, why not? I say, I don't have money. And I pray to God, if he doesn't bring it, I shall trek. Between him and us, you know, between God and I, will be embarrassed together. I'm not worried at all. No, I'm talking about work of faith. It's not just mouth. I told God straight, if you will not give me a car, I will not buy one. Because I didn't have money. As to be putting this little money I just told you about together to buy a car, God forbid bad thing. Listen, I stood by that thing forever. The first car I ever owned I could call my own was a gift. When we got married, my father-in-law gave it to us. Let me say it humbly. Since then, let me mentally quickly count. 1, 2. Don't let me waste your time counting. I think I have bought at least 6. You have only seen 3 because the other 3 I dashed people. Do you get my point? Listen to me. Till I die, I will never save money to. I will not even save money to build a house. God and I, we have an agreement. We have worked out some arrangements there. It's not now. Get my point. It's not now that I'm learning faith. No, I learned it then. And when the demand came, when people were breaking their head, doing 3 jobs, God, they wanted a car. I said, "Me, great man that God has made, come and die young." Do you know how many people have died? If I die now, you know, Akiolu would be dead. You know, he would never have been born. Ufuma would have been suffering around that man's house now. I would not have married her. Thank you. You won't be here. So I told them, I must not die. I told you the other day, I went to Benin. It happens to be on, I don't believe Valentine's Day, right? But it was on Val's Day, okay? So my sister-in-law looked at me and said, "Where is the Homer?" I said, "What?" She said she was expecting that I would bring a Homer this Val's Day. I said, "Why?" She said, "Because 2 years before that I brought a BMW. That was when my wife delivered at Kenyolu, just about 2 weeks after or a week after. You know, I didn't even know it was on Val's Day. So she felt that, wow, better husband. I gave it to my wife that day, but I didn't know it was Val's Day. It was coincidental. I did it because I wanted to travel the next day. If I remember the man who I bought the car from, I gave him some cash and gave him a check for 400,000 naira to finish payment.
I don't know. God just moved upon. He allowed me to take the car without cashing the money. Because I told him that, please, it's a Saturday or so. I want to travel. So please, let me take the car. But because I just want to be able to give it to her before I travel. I don't know when I'm going to come back. And if you wait for the check to clear, that means I won't be here to collect the car. So the guy just said, I had no problem that he knows my friend that I came with. He just knew the guy peripherally, and then he allowed us to take the car. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, my sister-in-law said that she just thought that, better husband. Hey, that. Anyway, let me stop the gist there. The point I'm making is this, talking about what? The works of faith. It wasn't that day it began. I finished school in 1991. I got married in December 1999. My father-in-law came to Lagos 31st of January 2000. All right? And paid for the car for us. That was the first car that had my name on the license. First ever. But since then, if I don't change my car, it's because I think the car is still good. Now, don't think that I always have money for a car laid up somewhere. No, not at all. I pray, I just tell God, now God, this thing go good. Though. Now, may they think about them and they come. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way Baba God and I operate. Let me tell you something about money again. Recently, the hospital has been delaying in paying salaries for a long time. So recently, they started paying, one after the other. So it's as if, I tell my wife, say, man, I'm rich. Don't just try me now. See money. and then, now I'm just being practical with you. Then, something just came to my mind. So I said, what do I do with it now? Well, I want, look, my future is in God's hands. You understand my point? I don't lay up treasure for the future. The first time I bought shares in anything was when we did spiritual economics, sowing in tears. I realized that you have the responsibility to bless your society. So any money I put in what you can call an investment, for me, is a blessing to Nigeria. You understand my point? Encouraging people that the more money people invest into businesses, the more the economy grows. That's my principle. Now, so I just thought to myself that, listen, what we go do now? So my wife, she just came back. So I will talk. I said, look, I'm a rich man now. No, don't just try me. Just be joking. Then suddenly I remembered. You see, my alumni fellowship, we have a convention every May. And the money I pledged last year, I have not paid it, was quite big, you understand? And by my level. So I've been thinking about God, CEO, just make sure I have money for that time to pay. Then so I suddenly remembered. I said, I called my president. I said, but send me the fellowship account number. Let me quickly pay. Why the money is still good? You understand my point? Then I remember that there's somebody I normally would give money to. I had not given money to him. I quickly said, I did like that. Did this, did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. My wife has been worrying me about something for a long time. I quickly paid for it. I said, why? Because the Bible said, lay up treasure where? In heaven. I suddenly remembered that scripture. So I sowed the seed. You know what I'm trying to say? That is a proper mentality. I am not afraid of, I'm not trying to bribe God. But I have understood that this is not my opportunity. It is not an opportunity. Do you understand my point? My opportunity was the day I read Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. And I took hold of it. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Anything I do that is not supporting that I believe that thing is killing the work of God in my life. The work of faith, therefore, is that I'm generous with what I have. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now listen, I was going to tell you a story about my friend. So he said that he began to save up money and the money was not enough. Then one day he said he woke up and the Lord said, look, this money you have gathered, go and dash it to somebody. And one pastor came to our church then, preached. He said he just felt in his heart to go and give the man money. So he went to the man's hotel room and gave him a check, virtually emptied the money, dashed the man. Now, people interpret it as, you see, when you give, you get. That's not the point. The point was that he was hindering the work of God in his life by putting his hope on the uncertainty of riches. And what he did was to liberate himself from the shackle hold that he has placed himself in poverty with. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, that's why Jesus told that rich young boy. He said, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. What he was telling him is this: you have not yet sought the kingdom hard enough. That scripture you were giving me just now, where is it again? Okay, Matthew 13, verse 45. When he said that the kingdom of God is like a treasure that a man finds and sells all that he has. That's the point I want to get across to you. That is what you are ready to give up in agreement with what you claim you believe God for. It's what God will look at and say, for this thing you have done, I will bless you. So this guy said that he went and gave the man money. And, well, he continued his business as usual. The money came in here, money came in. And then one day, he told one another of our friends and said, I'm looking for a house. The guy said, you are looking for a house? You already have the house. Come, follow me. Took him to the house of a man who was like an elderly friend and mentor to him. And that this man has this part of the house that he wants to rent out. And of course, they agreed. Get my point? He paid with ease. More importantly, listen to this. The money he now had was in a bank. He said one day he just felt strongly in him that if God was saying, go and pay the people you promised you will pay money now, though it was half of the money. So he went on Friday morning, collected the money and gave it to the agent on Friday morning. On Monday, the bank collapsed. AIB. On Monday, I said those who went on Friday afternoon couldn't draw their checks. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it is not the offering. It's that you took your faith away from cash and placed it upon God, which is always manifested in how ready you are to share. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, Paul was explaining to Timothy, tell them that this is how to lay a foundation for a tomorrow. We have taught it wrongly by telling people, give to God. So people are always trying to bribe God. That is why people started stealing and giving to church. You heard the scandal recently. A man defrauded his company of 30 something million naira and took all the money and gave to a church. I heard that the man's co-laborers, co-employees. I said, what happened to the man? He said, everybody stood behind him. Do you know why? They said they don't understand what came upon him. I told the person, I can tell you what happened to him. There is a spell. I'm making it that the guy most certainly did not even, I believe so seriously, didn't know what he was doing. But you see, somebody told him, anytime you need, so I've heard somebody, people preach, if you need something, you are looking for a child, the pastor's wife is pregnant, give her an offering. Listen to me, it's ungodly. You shouldn't make such statements. You shouldn't, because giving her an offering does not guarantee you anything. If you need something, I always told people, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. Go to the Lord, entreat him for his wife, for your wife's sake. And listen to me, if God now demands that you go and give your pastor's pregnant wife an offering, it is absolutely correct. Do you understand my point? But it is not a scriptural principle that you go around teaching people this is how to get something out of God. A man who is not a giver is not of faith. He is not of faith. However, you don't give to bribe God. I need a car. I pray for it. You understand my point? I don't give for it. Look, that thing to me, I don't know where it started from. But it has caught on because it is so lucrative for the person preaching it. I've taught you before, the issue of money is a matter of responsibility. God will give you 5,000 and be watching how you will use 5,000. If you use it well, he will give you 50. Then one day you say, okay, I will send 50 million naira to you monthly so you will be able to do my work on the earth. Look, I told the Lord recently, if you give me a certain amount of money, Kingdom World Ministry will be on air in Lagos, in Benin, in Port Harcourt, in Enugu here. I will fill the air with this gospel. Listen, I used to like Jeeps. I don't like them anymore. They are not comfortable. I like small cars. Very, very good ones. If you give me $1 billion today, I will not buy a limousine. Do you know why? There is no road in Nigeria to drive it on. No, look, God is not giving you money to chop life. You know, I've told you that. In fact, as a believer, God will not give you money until you are content with what you have. I told you before about the vow of poverty. If you are not ready to say, you know, we used to say that take the whole world and give me Jesus is a bad song. Let me tell you the truth. That song is the most godly song you can sing. You know, prosperity message. Say, no, take the whole, give me the world and give me Jesus. The person who wrote the song was making a spiritual statement that if following Jesus will cost me everything on this earth, I will follow him still. That's what he was saying. He will not make it look like he was talking out of ignorance. A child of God will have the whole world and have Jesus with him. Rubbish. Nonsense. What he said, everything I could have gained, I am ready to count dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That's what he's saying. If in that process, God decides that he will give me wealth like Solomon, fine. You can't bribe God into abundance. It's not possible. What God will do, he will give you 100 naira today. So let me see whether in your greed you will eat it alone. Because he will certainly send somebody that needs 15 naira beside you. And the person may not be in church. People think that the 10 naira will go to offering basket. You have paid off God and his devourer. The 19 naira, at least now you can eat it. It's not like that. No, it's not. What did Jesus say? When I want to come to your house, you know, that tract I wrote, it is God and I recommend you read it again. When Jesus wants to make a demand of you, he won't come as a preacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you will recognize that Jesus is this man. He said, I will come as the smallest of all these my saints. I will just come hungry, begging for water. That's what he said. But we make it look as if, no, it is the one you dance forward. I'm a cheerful giver, you know. You dance forward and no, that's not it. That's not the point. The giving must be out of what? Faithfulness, out of faith. That is, I recognize that God is the one in charge of my life. God is the one in charge of my destiny. This money is not in charge of my life. Therefore, if you do the work of God, he said there is seed for the sower and there is bread for food in everything that God gives you. If you recognize that, you have no problem in life. I'm happy I told you today's message, analysis of works. So you will understand that two people can be doing the same thing, but for different reasons. One is getting blessed, the other is not getting blessed. You get the point I'm making? No, my people have a saying that if you see an adult running in the afternoon, either he's chasing something or something is chasing him. But by seeing him running, you cannot decide. Sure, you know that. So a man can be doing works out of lack of faith, and another person is doing the same thing and is based upon faith. There was one joke those days, a movie they made, Holy Moses or something. I can't remember the correct title. It was supposed to be a joke about one guy who was a shepherd beside Moses, the real Moses, and overheard God calling Moses and thought God was talking to him. So he went to go and meet Pharaoh. He said, let my people go. So Pharaoh looked at him like, can you do magic? He said, yes. So he called his magician and he threw down their rods and he turned to serpents. So he took his own sword. He said, all right. And he threw it down. And he took his own rod, threw it down. And the rod bounced, stayed as a rod. And he looked at Pharaoh. He said, it takes a little time for mine to warm up. Of course, Pharaoh had him bundled and thrown into a dungeon. Why? Because he overheard God talking to Moses. And the Pharaoh told him that, look, Moses had come and carried away all the Israelites. So what do you want me to do for you now? That's what we do these days as believers. Somebody does something. And he comes, you know, I've told you before, testimony. Be very careful of testimonies. He tells you, at that time I was desperate and I took an offering and I gave it. And next day, the doors opened. So what he's telling, in effect, your own door has not opened because you have not done what he did. Now, let me balance it again. Sometimes, don't forget this ever. Spiritual manifestation is interesting. God might even use that man to talk to you. Do you get my point? But it is not a doctrine. You learn doctrine from the word of God. from God's word, you get the truth. Don't forget, the widow of Zarephath was not trying to multiply her food. What she was doing was to obey the word, because Elijah said, for God has said, this bowl of flour will never finish. Now, if you believe that word, you will give to me first. The next widow that came broke, Elisha said, what do you have in your house? He said, I have a jar of oil. He said, go and borrow many more vessels. Lock up yourself and your children and begin to pour. And when they finished pouring the thing and everywhere was full, they came. He said, what do we do? He said, go and sell it and pay off your debts. The man did not take an offering from her. What am I saying? God is the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. That is, the way he deals with Abraham is manifestly different from the way he dealt with Isaac and very different from the way he dealt with Jacob. But he's still the God that a man will please only by faith. Do you understand what I preach today? Let us pray.